Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, and then verse 12. When you have it, please let me know by saying amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, and then verse 12. Amen?
Amen.
It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And I'm adding this, therefore, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to gather together this morning, whether it's in person or online. I ask you that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to us, Lord, and let your word transform us and change us into the image of Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may have a seat. So we're going through the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words. And before I go into the message or the topic of today, which is honor your father and your mother, it is key for us to understand a couple of things. So one of them is the order. So we've been talking about our relationship and with God, right? The commandments that deal with God. And, you know, some of them are like honor my day, make sure that you worship me and only me alone. Do not make any image of us. And the reason that that is important is before we can deal with horizontal commandments or horizontal relationship, such as parents, do not kill, do not commit adultery, we first need to get a clear understanding and a clear right perspective of our vertical relationship. Right? We cannot rightly and properly deal horizontally with people unless we have first dealt vertically with God. So we need to get that relationship first right in order for the horizontal to be proper. So now that we have kind of like in the last few weeks talked about, you know, keeping the Sabbath day, honoring the name of the Lord, you know, worshiping Him alone, we come to honoring our father and our mother. What's the state of our society today? Have we asked ourselves that lately? Have we asked ourselves, you know, what is our society and in what direction is it going to? I mean, just out of my mind and as I was preparing the message, I kept thinking about, you know, what are the shows that we see today, you know, that are popular, right? Because there's a lot of shows, but what is popular today? Most of the shows out there portray parents in some demeaning way. It's rarely where you see a show where the parents and the position of a parent is exalted, right? Many times the shows would demean the parent and like the person doesn't know enough, the person is dumb, the parents are not wise, all the parents are outdated, they're disrespected, they're like, oh, like, you know, your position here is insignificant, and most of the time the show is about the kid or the child, and they try to exalt that person rather than portray the rightful place of a parent. You know, in our society today, many kids, it's okay if you're like, to a degree, disrespectful towards your parent. It's fine if you, you know, demean your parent. Many times in our society, it's also okay for us to even abandon them in their old age. You know, you get to a certain age as a parent and your kids is like, hey, listen, you're too old. I don't need you. I already have the money that I need. And you know what? Let me just leave you in a home, leave you somewhere that'll take care of you and forget about you. Rarely come to visit you, rarely come to see you. You know, it's like, hey, I'm done with you. So we see parents in the position of whether, hey, you're not smart enough, or when you get older, when I don't need you anymore, I can abandon you and it's fine. To that contrast comes the Word of God. And the Word of God is, you know, it simplifies, and I love how God in His sovereignty and in His mind puts the commandments, right? Like I said, he deals with God first, but now that he's going to deal horizontally with, you know, how you ought to treat each other, he starts with the foundation of society, which is the family. So the foundation of every society, it starts with a man and a woman entering a covenant of marriage, honoring God in their life, and from that covenant comes the fruit of kids. That is the foundation of every healthy society. I mean, a society cannot live without that. As a matter of fact, society is only a combination and an addition of individual families who make up together a community, who make up together a city, who make up together a county and a state, and so on and so forth. But it all begins at the family. So the first thing I want to start with saying, and, you know, in dealing with the command, is we need to understand the sovereignty of God and understanding that these are the parents that God gave you. See, like I said, you have to deal first with who God is. And once you know who God is, you can understand horizontally, these are the parents that God gave you. Parents stand as the source of the family. God gave you these parents regardless of who they are, where they come from, how they might necessarily treat you, what they have done. God is the one that gives the parents. Did any of us decide what family we were going to be born into? Did any of us say, hey, you know what, I want to be born into this family with these kinds of dysfunctions? No. You and I did not decide that, but God in his sovereignty did. And we need to understand and trust his sovereignty. We need to understand and rely back on his sovereignty. God defines the origin of the family, not us. So in other words, if God is the one that gives it, God is the one that defines it. God defines what a parent is. God defines what a child is. God defines how that relationship ought to be done with one another. And in this command, God says, children, you must honor your parents. God in his divine sovereignty and providence gave you the parents he gave you for a reason. So not only did God give it, he defines it, he has a purpose. God has a purpose in giving us the parents that he has given us. We might not understand it. We might not fully know it. We might not fully comprehend it. But if God gives it, God defines it, he also has a purpose in it. And although we might not understand it, he calls all of us to obey and honor. So when we go to the text, it says, honor your father and your mother. And then the promise comes in that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. What does that word honor mean? Because we must define the terms, right? We need to understand what God is saying by honor. So the word honor has a little bit of two meanings. It says treating them with deference or humble submission. And I know that's kind of hard, especially in our society, to, you know, be able to humble ourselves and treat our parents with that kind of honor, right? Especially you get to maybe like a certain age where you think you know it all. And even as you get older and maybe you do know more than your parents, but God still calls you to humbly submit to them and humbly, you know, honor them. Now, it might look different as you get older and as you're married and as you have your own family and so on and so forth. But God still calls you, whether you're a little baby or whether you are 50 years old, 70 years old, and your parents are still around, God still calls you to honor them. So that is with, you know, honoring them is humble submission. A second term would be providing for them and looking after them in their old age. One of the texts that comes to mind is, and you don't have to go there, is Mark chapter 7, verse 9 through 13, that Jesus says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must die. Let me make a quick pause. Actually, the chapter, I think it's chapter 21 or 22, Jesus, you know, the commandment is like, hey, if one of your children is found to be dishonoring, if one of your children is found to be in rebellion, the parent must bring that child to the elders of the community, and the child must die. So dishonoring your parents in biblical times, in the times of Exodus, before the eyes of God, was considered a capital punishment. That's how serious God considers the fact of honoring your parents. That's how serious God considers the foundation of society. If the foundation is the family, then the honoring of your child to the parents is foundational, and it was punished. The disobedience was punished as a capital offense. So let me continue. Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that he have handed down, and many such things you do. 1 Timothy 5:4 also say, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, the kids or grandkids, first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So not only does God call us as a child to humbly submit ourselves, but even as you're older, he calls you to provide for them, to care for them. Now, you know, it's in our society, sometimes we find that a burden. Like, you know, because we're selfish. That's really what it comes down to, right? It's like, hey, I want to have the dream house with the dream car, with the dream boat, with the dream, you know, motorcycle. We want to have all the toys. We want to have all the things that I want to have in my life, but I cannot have them if I help my parents do A, B, C. So, you know what? I'd rather have my toys than to obey the word of God, because I'd rather please myself than to provide, like the word said, and help them out. But didn't they do that for you? Maybe not perfectly, but to some degree, didn't they provide for you? Didn't they help you when you were little? And maybe, you know, like I said, maybe your parents were the worst. They didn't do that for you. And in those cases, you know, you're still called to pray. The Bible even, you know, the Bible says pray for your enemies, right? Love your enemies. If God calls you to leave and love your enemies, even if you have bad parents, God still calls you to love them and to at least pay them respect. So, you know, it's if they did it for you when you were a baby, God calls you to do it for them now that they are in their old age, to look after them, to not just abandon them. I mean, you hear the stories of kids who just put their parents in a home and rarely visit them. Rarely come back and at least say hi to them. And I understand there's situations where they have to be put in a place where they do special care, right? They reach an age, they reach a moment in their life where you cannot, you know, take care of them. But why do we just leave them there and, like, forget about them? Why do we not make the time to go visit them? Why do we not spend some time to go and pay respect? You know, in other countries, at least for the country that I come from, in Cuba, it doesn't matter what the parent, you know, how bad they are. They stay in the house. You know, I have my own grandfather who, at one point, he already forgot who he was. He was basically couldn't walk, couldn't take care of himself, but he was still in the home. And I cannot tell you the joy of spending one last summer, the last summer that I got to spend with him, to just, you know, just be with him. And I remember, like, and this is a personal story, but, and a side note, I remember he would go to bed, and I would spend that one night with him. Like, I just spent the night with him. And if he saw me, he would tell me, hey, you know, come to bed, because it's late, in his own, you know, mind. And I kind of looked inside, but he was looking the other way, and I was like, good, he's not going to see me. So I kind of went by, and he called my name, and I didn't realize he had a mirror on the other side. So he could still see me, and I was like, oh, man. And I told him, like, I'll come back later, you know, like, later. But, you know, caring for those that took care of you, looking out and paying that respect. So honoring your father and your mother. So the second part is father and mother. So, you know, sometimes we, it means your parents as a whole, regardless of who they are or what they've done. Even if you're older, like I said before, it means honoring both equally. Do you know that on Mother's Day, for the most part and majority of times, mothers receive more cards, more gifts, more, you know, more, they usually do than on Father's Day. Now, it's not to be, you know, and I know mothers are mothers, you know, you can never, I love my mom. I mean, it's mothers are mother, and I love my dad too, but like my mom is my mom. But the Bible calls us to honor them both equally. Maybe not the same, but equally. You know, with your mom, you might be giving her that extra hug, that extra love that, you know, that she maybe, when you were a little kid, you came running to her and you used to hide in her skirts. But now that you're older, it's like, hey, mom, come on, like, you know, I'm old, like, come on. But with your father, it might be just like, hey, involving him in some of your activities. Let's go out fishing. Let's do some of the things that you want to do, Dad, even though I hate what you do, but I'll go spend that time with you. So it means honoring them both equally. And like I said earlier, this is the foundation for a society. If we don't do this with our parents, how can we expect it to be done with other people? Right? If we don't honor our parents, if we don't honor our father and our mother, what's that to say about honoring our grandparents? What's that to say about honoring our aunts and uncles? What's that to say about honoring our community leaders, our pastors, our government officials? So you see, this is the foundation. If you don't do this at home, how can we expect it to be done on the outside? If honoring your parents and your mother does not happen in the confines of the four walls of your house, it will never happen. And we see it in our society. Since we have the position of the parents, now we see the mean men. Is that the correct word? We diminish. We kind of like forsake those who are in authority. We don't care for the police. We disrespect the local government. We disrespect, you know, and like I said, you don't have to agree with everything they do or say. But what about the respect that their position holds? You know, the Bible calls us for us to pray for our leaders, to pray for our government. And when Paul wrote that, he wrote it in a time and in a season where the leader, Caesar, was corrupt, as corrupt can be. And Paul was saying, hey, pray for them. Pray for their well-being. Pray that God will, in his sovereignty, shine the light upon them. But if we don't do it at home, how can we expect it to be done on the outside? So how do we dishonor them? So, you know, there's different ways that I listed here. One of them is by not obeying them. You know, your parents tell you to do one thing. And now this specifically applies when you're, like, younger, right, when you're living in their household. And one of the rules, at least when I was growing up, if you live in my household, you have to abide by my rules. And that's just, you know, you're living pretty much rent-free for the most part. That's only fair that you abide by their rules. So by not obeying them, by not listening to them, by not helping them. I mean, sometimes, like I said, you leave them in a home and, you know, you don't help them with what they need. It's like, hey, I don't have time for you. I want to hang out with my friends. I'd rather on my weekends sleep in or do whatever I want instead of helping you do what you need to be done. By abandoning them, you know, like I just mentioned, you put them in a home and forget about them, or you move away and it's like, hey, I rarely come to see you, to visit you, to talk to you. It's like, I forgot about you. I have friends. I have my life to deal with. I have my things to do, so forget about you. By not supporting them financially when needed, you know, you need to also look out for them. Do I rather buy this or can I use that to kind of help them out? Right? By speaking bad of them. I mean, like I said, maybe your parents were not the stellar parents. A good way that you can honor them is by not actually speaking bad of them or speaking of what they've done. Just keeping it, you know what, Lord? You know what they did? One day they'll give an account to you. But let me not dishonor them by bad-mouthing them and saying how horrible they were to me growing up. You know, that's between you and me, Lord, and what they did. By hurting them. You have people who actually hurt their parents. We've seen it on the news too many times, I think. You know, it's like child was rebellious, and bam, they went after their parents. Next thing is the first commandment with a promise. This is the first commandment, the Bible says, that God gives, and he attaches a promise to it. You know, throughout the scripture, God will give a command and there will be promise. If you do this, you know, God promises to do this. If you obey me, then you live, you know, you live under my blessing. If you follow me, then I'll give you life. So there's many other commandments that God gives, but this is the first one that has a promise. And it is that your days, so that word that is the same as therefore, meaning honor this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So, it's the first commandment with a promise. It does not mean that you will always live a long life. I mean, we've seen it many times, even throughout scripture, a child who honored their parents and their life was cut short. What it does mean is that and this applies to all of God's commands, right? By you obeying God and following him, he promises to, you know, give you a life that is full of joy and his presence. That is, you know, that's what long life, even Jesus said, is like, what is life? What is eternal life? That they might know you. It's not that you will live, for a very long period of time. It's that in that period of time, whether it is 100 years, 70 years, 80 years, you know, you're going to live a life where God is going to be glorified and where your heart is going to be full of his presence. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be live a long life, but it'll be full of joy and God's presence. But it also, you know, part of this package is if you obey your parents, more often than not, you'll probably avoid some of the headaches and mistakes that could cost you your life. Right? How many times have we maybe disobeyed our parents, and, you know, myself included, and it could have been close, right? If I had not done that, it could have been close. And by God's grace and mercy, I'm standing here, but, you know, other people, they disobey their parents, and because of that decision, it cost them their life. You went out one night, your parents said, stay home, it's better for you to stay home, but you rebel. The person went out, you know, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and something happened, and had you obeyed, you probably would have seen longer days. Had you obeyed, you probably would have avoided some headaches that would have cost you life. Had you obeyed, you probably, and we can probably all testify, had I obeyed my parents here, I would have avoided A, B, C, or D. Right? So it is a promise. It is a command that has a promise. So God commands us to honor our fathers and our mothers, that our days may be long and the day, and that the days might be long in the land that the Lord our God is giving us. I do want to switch gears for a second as I close. And one of the great things of, I guess, having a guest speaker is, you know, close fast. So as I close, I do want to switch gears before I go to the application. Is a word of counsel to parents, specifically fathers, right? Because the Bible speaks and tells the child, kid, obey, honor your father and your mother. But as we go into the New Testament, God also gives an advice to the parents, right? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, and like I said, specifically fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, kids, obey your parents. But fathers, you know, do not provoke your children to anger. You know, as parents, and hopefully if the Lord allows me one day to be one, you know, I pray for the wisdom to bring a child in the fear and discipline and instruction of the Lord. Right? Being a parent, it has a responsibility. You don't just be a parent and be like, I'm in charge, and you beat the kid till, no. You know, there is a weight of responsibility that falls upon the father and a mother when they're blessed with the child. And we need to ask for God's wisdom in bringing that child. We need to be humble enough to admit when we're wrong and be like, hey, you know what, I'm still learning what it is to obey the word of God, so I apologize to if you acted out in anger, or you know, you were acting in a way that was not in accordance with the Word of God. God still calls a parent. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean that you don't have to. Just because you're in authority doesn't mean that it's not okay for you to humble yourself and admit when we're wrong and ask for forgiveness. You don't have to be perfect, but you do, you know, you have to be honest and transparent and say, hey, I messed up, forgive me, let's do it again, let's try it again, let me win your heart. You know, I love, there's a movie that's, I think it's called Courageous. It came out a few years ago. It's a Christian movie about the role of a father. And in that movie, I think one of the keys, one of the lessons is winning your kid's heart, you know. Spending time with your child, learning what it is to what interests them, and being humble enough to be like, hey, I messed up, let's do it again, let's run together, let's spend time together. And as a parent, you know, try to win your children's heart. So humble yourself, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. You know, humble yourself when you don't know what you're doing. Humble yourself when you've messed up, ask for forgiveness. Humble yourself when, hey, I don't know if I made the right decision, but let's do it again. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. As we close in application, you know, how do we take this command and apply it to our lives? I think the first thing we need to do is repent. You know, the Bible calls for us to turn. That's really what repentance is. You know, is if you're going this way, if you have been dishonoring your parents, if you have been, as a parent, maybe harsh with your kid or not loving or not wise, then repent. You know, the Bible calls for every man to repent. Turn from your sinful ways and turn to God. That, I think that will be the first thing to do. And the second thing will be to obey. You know, look for ways that you can honor your parents. And as a parent, look for ways that you can, you know, raise and bring that child in the fear and the discipline of the Lord. Right? It's like, obey the word of God. Look for ways that how can I honor my parents today? Maybe I haven't called them in a while. So you know what? Let me give them a call today. Maybe I've harbored anger in my heart because of how they treated me growing up. Or maybe they were not an stellar parent or whatever. Whatever it might have been, whatever your relationship with your parents are, why don't we start by breaking those patterns today? Look for ways to honor them. Call them. You know, like, hey, if I've abandoned you in a home for X amount of months, years, weeks, let me pay you a visit. Let's try to bridge that gap. Let's try to, you know, work out those differences and be a family the way that God intends for us to be. Because if we're going to have this relationship right, he also commands us to have this relationship right as well. You know, when they came to Jesus, and I'll close with this, they asked Jesus, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? He didn't give them one. He gave them two, which are really, it's one command broken out in two dimensions. Right? It says, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Like, put him first. Like, just focus your eyes on God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So, similar to a cross, it's like we deal with God and we, you know, we have that relationship, but we also deal with each other. And by loving each other, we will honor each other. We'll get into all the other commands of we will not kill each other. We will not commit adultery. We will not steal. We'll deal with the other commandments. So let us pray as we close today, and then I'll have DJ come up. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your commandments upon our lives. Thank you for allowing us to gather here today. Thank you for the word that was spoken. Father, I pray that we would apply it to our hearts, apply it to our lives. I ask you, Lord, that you would teach us to honor our parents. And as parents, I ask that you would also teach us to not provoke our children to anger, but to teach them and raise them in the fear and the discipline of the Lord. That we would take our cues from you, Father, that how you deal with us, your children, in loving and patient and kind ways, but yet you teach us and instruct us and discipline us, and yet you come back and you embrace us and hold us in your arm. And may we look to Jesus as the perfect Son who honored the Father at all times, who was obedient even to his earthly parents who were not, you know, God. You know, he humbled himself and he was obedient even to the point of death, Father. May we be a people that are known, a society, a group of believers that are known to honor the foundation of parents and family. And may that extend into our daily lives at work, you know, in our society, in our dealing with our leaders, our bosses, and everyone else. Teach us and instruct us and help us to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.